Hello, it's my absolute pleasure and delight to be interviewing my good friend and colleague Tanya Prince this morning on her new process that she's developed called Inner Repatterning. I think it's a very exciting process and very interesting how it's come about, and I thought you'd all like to hear just the story of how Tanya developed it and what you can do with it, where you can go with it. So I'm going to hand you over to Tanya. Morning, Tanya.
Hiya, Emma.
So tell me a little bit about this approach and also about how you developed it, because I know that you've got a long history as a therapist. You've mm-hmm. been an EFT trainer for a long time and obviously a master, which is where we met, and also an NLP master. And I'm wondering how you came about developing this. What questions were you asking yourself that kind of led you to making this decision to create this?
I know there was certain things that were very much influencing me at that point in time. I was reading a fantastic book by Eckhart Tolle, which really inspired me, you know, because he puts across certain ideas and that really got my mind sparking. And as you say, it doesn't just stem from there, because also at that time, you know, throughout my whole life, I've always been looking for, you know, what is the simplest way we can do things. And I've always been a little bit of an explorer in them kind of things. How can we trigger the mind-body system to kind of deal with this issue itself? So when I was reading Eckhart Tolle, and there's also an article I read on EFT also inspired me at that point in time. I just thought, well, let's challenge a few ideas here. You know, what if we lessen the number of tapping points that we're using? And what if we kind of set an intention? Because I absolutely love intention-based therapies, you know, where you actually directionalize the whole process and, in a way, put your trust in that. So I was kind of using them kind of questions to myself. And first off, I limited the tapping to 3 points. And it was really interesting because I phoned up several of my trainees and said that they want to experience this process. And I did some work with one of them, and she very nicely volunteered to have that taped. And the result came about so quickly that I was almost shocked. Mm-hmm. I think if you ever hear the interview, you'll hear me go, "It's gone." You know, because I wasn't expecting it to be quite that fast with what was coming up. And from that point on, I contacted another one of my trainees and asked her if she could trial it out there and see what would happen. And the results and the information we were getting back from people, you know, and the work that was being done on this, it was quite interesting. So intuitively, both of us actually shortened it to one tapping point, and you know, it just developed from there, really, Emma.
Okay. Whilst I'm thinking about it here now, where would we find these DVDs that you're talking about, or the audios?
The DVDs.
Yeah. Yeah. So that one you're just saying, the first one you did. I'm wondering where we can find that.
Oh, the recording of that. Yeah.
Is that available for people?
Yeah, we'll make that. Well, the recording wasn't a perfect quality in that, I think. I can check into that, but if people want to find out more about what I do put out there for this, they can find it at the site, which is www.innerrepatterning.com. You know, I have stuff that's free there on this process that they can kind of look into what's going on with it.
Great. Sorry to interrupt your flow. I just thought I'd ask whilst I thought of the question. I just think it's fascinating, because actually what you're doing is, in essence, the same thing that Gary did when he created EFT, isn't it? You're taking something and you're making it simpler and shorter mm-hmm. and more effective.
I'm certainly looking at ways that we can get the mind and body system to do it itself, basically. What do we need to do to trigger that process? Absolutely. And to take it down to the simplest form possible? Brilliant. That's certainly the way I'm looking at this.
Because I mean, we do all know, we have that inner wisdom carried in ourselves. We know how to heal, and it's just really, I think, about finding the conditions to do that. So when you talk about setting your intention, I mean, I love it. I love doing that at the beginning of any session, really, just to set the intention for the outcome you're looking for, and then give it up to the process, sort of thing. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolute sense. Also, you know, very much. There's a fantastic book called Power versus Force, and You know, that's a very interesting book to read about, you know, the energy of certain emotional states. Mm-hmm. And so with this process, we don't just set any intention. Mm-hmm. Kind of looked at an emotional state or a way of being that really took you to one of the best possible outcomes you could have. Okay. And again, making the assumption that whatever problem you had lay between where you currently were and this place of the best possible outcome. Mm-hmm. And that best possible outcome, I always thought, for most issues would be in a deep place of inner peace and joy.
Absolutely. That sounds wonderful to me.
Mm.
I mean, you know, can you imagine what it would be like if everybody had that available to them easily?
Yeah. And the interesting thing is that when we do this process, many of the people who go through it when we're doing it, they actually do feel in a real good place of peace and joy at the end of it.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a gift in and of itself, isn't it? So tell me how this approach differs from standard EFT.
Well, originally it was much closer to EFT, but it kind of took on its own direction. You know, you can never guarantee where your child's going to go, really, can you?
That's a child. Particularly not when you're working with energy, actually.
Yeah, when you give birth to an idea or wherever that idea comes from, you just, you know, it takes on its own direction and just goes where it goes.
Which is part of the excitement and the joy of it, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, and I must admit there's been a lot of joy and passion in a good way behind this process. We've just been really inspired because my co-developer, June K. Spencer, who took on and researched some of it for me, we decided to go together on this because we were equally putting ideas forward. How does it differ from EFT?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, obviously the one point is a big difference, but...
Oh, absolutely. And we dropped the wrong point down to the thymus point on the body,
okay,
which is the higher heart chakra.
So would you like to explain to anyone listening who's not familiar with that exactly where that is?
It's roughly, if you go where the collarbone points are and you drop down about 3 inches down to the centre of your chest, it's around about that zone there. And we tend to use the finger pads because it's a very, very sensitive area, and we do incredibly gentle percussion there. And, you know, so it's just kind of a rhythmic, gentle percussion that we do through the process. And there is actually a lot of science that backs us up on the effectiveness of this spot, actually, because I believe it's a controlling centre for the meridians.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping, I'm sitting here tapping very gently on that spot and hoping I've got the right place. I think I might have sort of, not the sore spot, but a bit,
And the interesting thing, you know, you actually ran that masterclass in London 2010,
yes,
and you brought a very interesting guest there, which was David Hamilton. And some of the research that he was talking about actually kind of supported us tapping on that point because, we're looking to bring the heart into coherence. And, you know, when the heart is in a place of balance and coherence, it pulls the rest of the mind-body system into that place.
Absolutely. It's so mm-hmm. interesting, isn't it? Because this is also, you know, Sue does a lot of work around the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the process of doing a mindfulness training, and that's all heart-based too. It's fascinating to me how everybody's sort of coming to the same place at the same time, that sort of elevated consciousness.
Oh, that is very typical, isn't it? I think, you know, you see these patterns over time that so many people will kind of go in a direction. And it's this huge energy that flows in this direction. I think this is one of these emerging directions.
I think it's kind of happening so much quicker now than it might have done in the past. It's kind of like we're waiting for the emergence rather than the emergence trying to find a gap.
Mm.
You see what I mean?
So,
to get back to the innery patterning,
mm-hmm.
you've told me a little bit it's a different point, but in what other ways does it differ from EFT?
Well, what we do in this is we actually put people in peripheral vision at the very beginning of the process. And peripheral vision is a state which you can be in, which helps you to feel very relaxed, at peace, whilst you do the process. Because some of the stuff we've used inner repatterning on is incredibly big stuff. You know, we've used it on body dysmorphia. I know my colleague June works with some very severe issues that people have that, you know, bordering towards the extreme that you can have as a problem. And so we want to keep it very gentle for people, incredibly gentle for people. And when you put a person into peripheral vision, what we tend to find is that we can communicate with the deeper levels of the mind, body, system, whatever that might be, the level at which the programs that run our lives, our beliefs, our emotions, all of that we're in communication with that level.
Okay. So when you say you put people into peripheral vision, does that mean that they can take away that experience and do it for themselves, or do they need somebody else?
Well, they can do that themselves. It is very possible to put yourself into peripheral vision. I mean, if anyone's listening to this here now, they can actually practice it, because all you need to do to put yourself into peripheral vision is look into the distance. Pick a spot, and as you look into the distance and pick that spot, begin to draw your awareness out to the size of your vision. And it should be a nice, gentle focus. And when you do that, just retain that level of vision. And, you know, you kind of get this bigger view of what's there. And you should feel a sense of relaxation when you do that. You know, it's a great place to be in.
Well, absolutely. I'm not going to go there right now, because otherwise I might not continue with the interview.
Actually, when you're in that state, you got great access to your memory and everything, intuition, everything.
Okay, well, when we finish talking, I think I might try that out. I mean, I imagine that, you know, we're peripheral vision without knowing it quite a lot of the time. So making it a conscious thing, it sounds like another form of, well, not meditation, but another form of place where you can just be rather than having to do. That sounds...
Oh yeah, I mean, if you're a presenter, well, you are a presenter, I'm a presenter, when we go and we present and we're really hitting the spot, we're kind of in peripheral vision. And that's why if someone puts their hand up to the very sides of the room, we spot them.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense to me, but it's interesting to have it kind of put into such a succinct sort of package that you can do this for yourself. That's great. Okay. So you put them into peripheral vision, and you, Amy, you set your intention for inner peace and joy.
Well, the intention is a little bit broader than that. What it says is that you intend to heal or release anything that blocks you being in that place of inner peace and joy.
Okay, that's great. I like that.
Which kind of leaves it very broad for the mind kind of system to pick that out.
As we know, as kind of NLPers, in fact, and hypnotherapists, the mind will go on what they technically call the transderivational search, but it will go on the search to find the experiences that match that instruction.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you've told me a bit about the types of problems that you and June have used the approach on. Would you say it's an approach that people can take off and use at home on anything? Or what are the times when you really, really need a practitioner with you?
I would say I was going to use a really interesting English term, the bigger a problem. The bigger the issue that you have, the more I would say you would need someone to help guide you.
Same as with EFT, you need someone to help you stay in a safe place whilst you...
Absolutely with that. Now, if you're dealing with some simple stuff, it can be very easy to use this process, because what you do is you put yourself into you set an intention, and then you put yourself into peripheral vision, which you can do whilst walking down the street if you wish. And you can just, in a way, have a sense of breathing out whatever the problem is to you. And you just observe it and release criticism and judgment of that problem, because them kind of emotions you have kind of give energy to the problem and keep it, you know, happening.
Absolutely. It's in a way we have an investment to keeping a problem often that we don't realise, you know, that secondary gain.
So we're fueling it with our emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. So in a way that's a bit like setting an approach that will go against psychological reversal. It's an equivalent thing, only you're doing it in your mind instead of actually physically tapping.
Yeah, well, we do tap once we put it outside of ourselves, which is just on that thymus point, which you can do very simply, and it's very subtle tapping, yeah? But often that's enough for many people for that just to dissipate.
I'm just sitting here still tapping on that spot and thinking, actually, I tap there quite a lot anyway, bizarrely.
I think we're intuitively drawn to tap on these points. We have a knowing inside of ourselves what gives us comfort.
That's really interesting. Thank you. So tell me the benefits of using it. You've told me a lot of them already, but is there anything that kind of we're missing out here?
I think some of the greatest benefits of this, you don't have to understand your problem at all. In fact, we don't even attempt to understand it, because that's kind of the conscious mind coming in, trying to understand what's going on for us. And if you want to create change in your life, you need to change it at a deeper level than the conscious mind's level. Obviously, it's nice to know when you've changed it, but you need to get down to those deeper underlying beliefs and programs, etc., that run your life, basically, for you.
Absolutely. And often, as you say, they're always actually in the unconscious. Mm-hmm. And even when we brought them into consciousness and we kind of know them, I mean, you know, actually, I had a client the other day who said he'd gone into analysis paralysis therapy. I thought that was wonderful, because he still hadn't, you know, he had a few understandings about what may have created the issue, and maybe he was right, maybe he was wrong, I don't know. But that was just a conscious understanding. It hadn't made any changes in his particular behaviour. And I agree, you have to treat the problem in a different level of consciousness which holds a solution than the one in which you created it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, that makes sense. And like you, I've come across many clients who've got that kind of, is it kind of conscious paralysis, analysis paralysis?
Analysis paralysis, I love that expression. Actually, it really, really warmed to me. It summed it up.
Yeah, that guy's a poet.
I'm not going to say the next line to that.
I know, I was thinking of the next line. And that's a beautiful term that represents it. You know, in the most extreme, that need to analyze our issues can so get in the way of clearing them.
Absolutely. And also, I think our kind of need, our desperation to solve them can get in the way, which I'm sensing that if you're kind of in peripheral vision, that need maybe gets left behind. It's just you're going with it and being in the moment, as per the Eckhart Tolle work.
Yeah, exactly. We take out that component of it and just be in the moment, very, very present with whatever we're experiencing. And we don't attempt to understand it. We just accept that it is there, because it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Otherwise, you know, the person wouldn't be there, or you wouldn't be upset by it.
There's some other beautiful points about this, and that is that when you're working on this, you know, you can actually deal with the whole issue in one go. You don't need to break it down into component pieces.
So the therapist doesn't have to be an analyst either. Fantastic.
Now, the beauty of this, you see, in many therapies, you do have to be, the therapist has to take the role of a bit of a strategist, who finds, With this process, you don't really need to take that role, because the role of the therapist is just basically to keep the person present and aware of whatever they're observing and witnessing, and aware of whatever they're experiencing within themselves as they go through that, and to just gently facilitate the process. But they don't have to be a strategist, which is interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, I know a lot of therapists out there have enormous responsibility issues around being the strategist. You know, it's their role to heal that client, which obviously it's not the case anyway, but sometimes it takes quite a lot to kind of break out of that mold, I think. And it's, as Gary would say, getting in your own way. So this sounds like a really simple way of you letting go as well.
Well, I tell you this, Emma, it's an incredibly peaceful place for the therapist to be.
Sounds wonderful. It's kind of like just in the place of holding the space for you and them and whatever else is involved. Call it the universe, energy, God, whatever. That sounds to me like that's the space that you're creating.
I would say that, and for those who are very spiritual minded, they have great kind of sense of spirituality with this. Obviously, you don't have to be in that place to use this. Anyone can use it, but it is a really, really nice kind of feel you get when you do this process.
Can't wait to try it. Okay, so tell me, what benefits you get at the end of this, after an inner repatterning session? What might I expect if I was to come to you? Supposing I came to you with, big trauma, like a car crash or something that was affecting my life.
Well, what you look at it would be a very gentle way of dealing with that. And,
How could I expect to feel afterwards?
Well, I'd be looking for you to feel in a bit of place of deep inner peace and joy, tell you the truth.
So supposing I had an accumulation of things like some of these war veterans that they're working on in the States, and I was suffering from PTSD and things, what could I reasonably expect from one session?
Well, I think, with the bigger issues and stuff like that, you can't necessarily expect to clear the whole thing in just one off thing, because these things tend to go as they go. And we take it at that level. what happens during the session will be fine for that session. Certainly with the bigger issues, you would need to continue the process. But one of the beauties of this thing is it naturally begins to bring whatever the problem out, wherever the problem is, out, and you witness that and you take the energy out of it just by releasing all emotional attachment to it. So it's a very, very gentle thing. And what we would look at is that we would just look to keep the person in a nice, kind of comfortable, safe place whilst they allow their mind to bring the stuff out layer by layer, piece by piece.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it was interesting. As I asked that question, I thought to myself, that's a pretty daft question to be asking, because I got my own answer. I mean, if you've got people who've experienced things like those war veterans have experienced, they probably never have any inner peace and joy at all in their lives. So to even open a tiny, tiny amount of that to be experienced will make an enormous difference.
Yeah, and it is a nice thing because, you know, it's very much their mind. Whatever's in control of it's in control of it. It will go at the right speed for them. And, you know, I have absolute faith that it will happen in the right way, because we're not particularly guiding it. It's being guided by whatever guides these things.
And that is where true healing happens, absolutely. As soon as we start to think we have to guide, you know, we get in the way and it all, you know, I'm not saying it goes wrong, but it just doesn't go as fast or as peacefully, if you like, as a session when you're kind of not in your own way. So tell me something else. When you say yes, you can take it and do it at home.
Yes.
How easy is that? Have you had any feedback from people on that?
I've had various feedbacks on different things. I have had the feedback that, because we put in one of the intentions, you know, within this statement, that when we begin to tap, it is the signal for all the healing to begin. But even if we're no longer tapping, it will continue to that point when they'll reach deep inner peace and joy now. And we said that. So some people just say they suddenly have this profound moment where suddenly it seems to collapse, and they may not be tapping at all at that point. Mm-hmm. And so I've certainly had that where they've had a little bit of a time delay on getting the absolute result. Mm-hmm. And people have put it down to that statement that we put in there.
Yeah. So has there been anybody in your experience who hasn't worked with, who kind of gets stuck? And if so, what have you done and how have you helped them?
I'm not really thinking of anyone that I've worked with that I'm thinking that about. I don't think so. I think it's just a very beneficial, I mean, it makes sense to step in a way outside of our problem and view it as a witness rather than be so emotionally involved in our problem. So
what about those people who already do that, those in a sort of dissociative state? How might it work with them? You know, the people who are so traumatized, they're kind of detached themselves, disconnect completely. Because what you're talking about is a connection, actually, rather than a disconnect, but in a more abstract sense.
Yeah, well, the beauty of this process, we ask, how do you know you have this problem? Yeah, and we don't need words to represent that. So if they have visual images, feelings, sensations, thoughts, etc., it all comprises of how they know they have this problem. Mm-hmm. And so we just work with that raw data.
Because we do trust. In fact, yesterday the group I was running, I was saying to somebody, "How do you know you feel angry? Well, they just feel angry, and actually, eventually, it's that kind of listening to your body, isn't it?
Well, there's some communication going on that lets them know that that's there, and they don't even. And sometimes we don't even have words that represent this communication, but that's not necessary, you see, because they do know something. And what we do is we just get them to put whatever that is out there, have a sense of doing it so they can witness whatever that is. And within that, something they put out there is how the mind's coding their experiences in life and communicating they have that problem to them.
Fantastic. Because it acknowledges, it witnesses, and it removes. Well, they remove themselves from it. That's fantastic. So it must save. You know, in some therapies, like, for instance, I'm thinking EMDR in particular, you can access the problem and you put it over in one direction or whatever, and then they have a tendency to abreact. And I'm not sensing that there's any abreaction of any form going on with this. In fact, I can't actually see how there could be.
No, we don't have abreactions. I've never experienced that using this process. Occasionally people can have an emotion come up, but then we'd acknowledge that emotion in the moment. We wouldn't rush to absolutely get rid of it. And this is only very occasionally, by the way. We'd accept that emotion, then give a moment or so of acceptance, and then when they're ready, just put it out there with the rest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I probably ought to explain to anybody who's not a therapist out there, an ab reaction means getting back into the problem state as if it's happening right now, which can happen in some therapies. Very, very rarely with EFT if you're with a skilled practitioner. In fact, it shouldn't happen at all. But I was just checking with Tanya whether there was any kind of sense of that happening, because I'm not getting the sense. I mean, talking to you, Tanya, the energy that's coming across on the call is one of very kind of like you're walking your talk, one of, you know, inner peace, knowing, and sort of being connected kind of to that bit of you that just is, that is joy, I suppose.
Yeah, I would very much go with that. You know, people, this is a very beautiful, gentle process that takes all the fight out of clearing the problems, because so often we go in there with force and try and shove the problem out or push the problem out, be so desperate to get rid of it. And this doesn't do that. That takes all that element out of it. It just is from a place of accepting that you have this, we take the power. We no longer start feeding this problem. And as regards to ab reactions, I said about emotions coming up for an occasional person. I'm thinking of one, but even that wasn't what I would call an ab reaction. That was just a bit of emotion that had been there a long while. Absolutely. And I don't like to disown emotions, because it's okay to have feelings.
I completely agree. I mean, feelings tell you about something that's not right for you, or that is right for you.
Yeah.
And they need to be acknowledged and honoured, even if they're uncomfortable. But that's very different to a full ab reaction. An ab reaction is a place where actually you're beyond feelings. It's you're so overwhelmed that almost you can't breathe, and it's very frightening. I mean, I've actually only witnessed one once, and that was not a client of mine.
Yeah, well, an ab reaction would require you to be, you go right into the moment in an associated perspective, really.
Exactly.
So if you're reliving it, and this is the opposite of that, because we're just kind of, we're witnessing it, so we're dissociated from it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, but obviously clients aren't always that obedient.
They have been up to now.
They are, good. speaking as a potential client here, I don't follow orders very well. But I'm sure it's how you set it up and things, obviously, and the faith that the client has in you also. But it sounds fantastic, actually. It really does.
Well, I think, you know, it's kind of when you're working with someone with this process, you're on a lovely journey with that person.
Mm.
And they're kind of your companion there, who's just along for the ride.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a real, actually, almost kind of an honour to kind of accompany someone on that ride or be with them. It sounds so, the way you're putting it across sounds very graceful.
It feels that way. It just, there's a wonderful energy that goes with it, a really nice, peace and calming energy. And it is a wondrous thing to be there with another person whilst they shift these things and be part of their experience. I think it's really, really very beautiful.
Lovely. Well, I'm very excited that you've kind of agreed that you'll come down to London to run a class for some of our students doing this. I know we haven't got a date fixed yet, but it'll be sometime late spring, early summer, I think.
So. I am very excited about that. I think, you know, I love showing people this process and teaching people this, because I think, you know, it's just such a nice process to begin to help people, that it would be nice to have a lot of people using it out there.
Absolutely. You know, it's something else to put in that toolbox that we will talk about, to collect, you know, different skills, different approaches. And this sounds to me, you know, a very unusual one and lovely, actually. You know, really, I'm in that trance already, actually. It's not difficult for me. I've been to that point the whole way through, and it's just... And interestingly, early on you said that's quite a sensitive point. And I've been tapping gently on it now for, what, half an hour or so, and it feels fine to me.
You feel?
It feels fine. It doesn't feel, you know, doesn't feel bruised or tender or anything. So,
Yeah, because we tend to use the finger pads because it is a sensitive little area, and you don't need to use any level of force here. It's just such gentle percussion. And also during the process, by the way, we also stop tapping because as you begin to strip off the layers of negative emotion, but unhelpful emotion to you or whatever's not helping you in your life, as you begin to strip through those layers, positives come up. Lovely feelings begin to come up, and it may be you only feel a little bit of a lovely feeling, yeah? But then we own that lovely feeling and we accept that without any criticism or judgment. And so we actually, and then we go beneath that to make sure there's not some hidden uncomfortable feelings. So,
I'm thinking of people, for instance, somebody who's come who's been suffering from depression for a long time, just to have a glimpse of something different is huge, actually. Mm. Just to even though that's there and available for them, even if they can't access very much of it in the beginning. That's an enormous change.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What a gift. Okay, is there any other sort of pieces to this that you'd like to talk about? Anything else that you kind of feel that listeners need to know?
I think I've kind of covered most of the things there, really, with that. The element of not analysing, not needing to understand, the idea that you can do the whole thing in one go because, you know, we hold images that hold memories that have such an amazing amount of information in just what we're seeing. You know, when we pull them up, we know so much about those events. So them are the elements, and the fact that it can be done gently, that you don't need to be any kind of strategist, you don't need to really go into that element. You know, it's just, I think I've put across most of those ideas, and hopefully that helps people understand it.
I'm sure it will, and it's lovely to find something that makes therapy easy, if you like, and for the therapist as well as the client. I mean, to make it actually a joy and a peaceful experience, I think is a blessing. So, and you're running these trainings how often at the moment?
We have one this February, which is in about a week's time. We have one in April, and we will be setting up dates for the rest of the year as well. Every few months, really.
And when you say we, it's you and June?
Yes, absolutely, because June has been very pivotal, bringing in kind of ideas and concepts. We're very much on the same page with this.
Excellent. I mean, I can't imagine doing any training on my own now without Sue. I think it's wonderful when you've got somebody who's alongside you in that journey too. So, and I know June, she's fantastic, so that's great, that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to welcoming you both down to London. We'll speak very shortly about a date, and then I'll let all the listeners know when that will be. But in the meantime, if anybody wants to get any more information about Tanya and this inner repatterning technique, I'll repeat the website, it's www.innerrepatterning.com, and Tanya can be reached via the website. I presume by email as well as by phone.
Yes, email and phone, whichever way people wish to communicate, that'd be excellent.
Okay, so thank you very much. That was really fascinating, and I'm very sort of fired up by that in a very peaceful and joyous way, if that's possible.
I think so.
All right, so thank you very, very much for that. And we'll speak again soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.